Sam McBride, investment analyst at New Constructs, is here. At New Constructs, they go searching for trouble. And today, Sam's taking us on that search, and we're heading for the danger zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone on Money Life. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, and we discuss with them what they are seeing out there that looks troubling. Why are they experts at trouble? Well, it's a big part of their methodology. No. Their methodology is not trouble. Their methodology is focused on problems. Because at New Constructs, they evaluate securities from the bottom up, from the grassroots level, working from their footnotes and then working up till they get to the top line. The result is that they get a picture of a company's finances that is a lot different than what you might see from the top down. It's a combination of forensic accounting meets cash flow analysis that allows them to evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And they basically do this talking about securities, asking one question.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Yeah, it is possible. And when they find that something is misleading, typically it's dangerous. By the way, it works the other way as well. They might find something where it's misleading, but it's in the company's favor. That typically makes something attractive. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com, where they blog about all of their danger zone picks so you can get more information on anything you hear us discuss on the show. They're on Twitter at New Constructs. Sam McBride, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
Who's in the danger zone this week?
The SEC and the FASB.
Danger, danger.
Okay, now, this is not a sense of deja vu. This is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Financial Accounting Standards Bureau, FASB, and they were here when we talked last week. So unless we've entered a time warp, they've done something different. They've done something again. So what's going on here?
Yeah, so this is another episode for the accounting nerds out there. Last week, we talked about the SEC's change that eliminated the disclosure of amortization of capitalized interest. This week, we're talking about a new rule from the FASB that eliminates disclosure requirements around an item called hedge ineffectiveness.
Explain what hedge ineffectiveness is and why something that probably no one in my audience has really ever heard of before, they should now care about.
Yeah, so hedge ineffectiveness is essentially when a company tries to enter into some sort of derivative contract or other hedging contract in order to hedge against commodity prices, interest rates, what have you, and the hedge doesn't work as expected. So let's say you're an oil producer. You want to have a hedge. So if commodity prices go down, this contract's going to go up and offset some of your losses. But for whatever reason, maybe you did the contract wrong, maybe there was just some unexpected event, oil prices go up and the contract goes up, or the contract doesn't go down as much as you expected, and all of a sudden you've got this unexpected gain because the hedge didn't work like you thought it would.
So you're profiting from the fact that you've made a mistake, or you might be losing money from the fact that you made a mistake. Why does the change in accounting, does it just mean that we're now going to get to see the mistakes?
Exactly. The new rule eliminated the requirements to separately report hedge ineffectiveness. So now basically what happens is that all gains and losses from derivative contracts are going into a bucket called other comprehensive income, which then gets amortized over time. And so everything, both the effective portion of the hedge and the ineffective portion, are just getting lumped together, and investors aren't going to be able to see that differentiation there anymore.
So is there an example where, you know, here's a stock that you guys see as troubling where you will not be able to tell? I mean, is there something that's come up in the past where you go, well, we found this under the old rules, but under the new rules we can't?
Absolutely. The company with the largest percentage of this adjustment as a percentage of their profit for the last year was National Oil Well Varco, ticker NOV.
And explain how it all worked and what the problem was in terms of how it showed up in valuations and the way you'd evaluate the security?
So National Oil of Arco, they had $2 million in gains from hedge ineffectiveness last year. That represented 19% of their after-tax operating profit. So it was a pretty significant chunk of their profit. And if you just look on a larger scale, they look like they're at about break even in terms of their GAAP net income. But when we look at economic earnings, which are the real cash flows of the business, they lost $1.7 billion. So this is a company that's a long way from profitability, even though on an accounting basis, it looks like it's close to break even.
And so going forward, if this were to happen again, you guys would basically be looking at this and going, this company is legitimately close to break even? You wouldn't be able to tell?
Potentially. Now, the hedging effectiveness is only one portion of a bigger, set of issues with them, but certainly that is one issue that going forward we will not be able to recognize if they have further gains from hedge ineffectiveness in the future.
So we've taken this out. Was there any reason specifically why FASB decided, yeah, this is not something we needed to know about?
So their stated goals were, they said, to provide users with a more complete picture of the effect of hedge in accounting on an entity's income statement and balance sheet. Which we're not sure how removing this disclosure makes that happen, but it seems like the more likely answer is that they also say they want to ease the operational burden of applying hedge accounting. So similar to the SEC rule change we talked about last week, it seems to be mostly focused on reducing the burden for filers, making it easier for them to file their statements, even if that means it comes at the expense of investors.
Yeah, of course. That's the real problem, is that the SEC and FASB, well, they are putting us in harm's way. So, yeah, I know you're stepping in for David Treanor, but...
Well, that's it, Robin. You've done it again.
You've done it again. You've put the SEC and FASB back in the danger zone, exactly where they need to be, as they are putting investors in harm's way. Sam, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks for having me, Chuck.
That's Sam McBride, everybody. He is investment analyst at New Constructs. If you know the name of the firm, you can go to the website. You can follow them on Twitter. And you should, because it's definitely worthwhile to do that. They do blog about all their Danger Zone picks, so don't miss any information you can find there. Again, on Twitter at New Constructs. All right, we're heading for home on the Monday, January 8th edition of Money Life. We'll be back with another interview right after this message.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.